Hi there.
Hey, Paul Mackey.
That's me.
Sorry for the loud chirp there.
Okay.
There's going to be all kinds of noise here. I don't know what we'll keep or what we won't keep. I'm going to take you with me into the kitchen and make sandwiches while we talk.
Okay.
It's been a while since we've had you around these parts.
Oh, I suppose I've got. I tend to contribute a little bit something every week.
Like a live conversation has been
of
a while.
Course.
Yeah, we've actually had lots of Mackie lately. It's almost as much as in the really big things days. Yes, I did just say big things.
Big things.
Yes, the really big things days.
Well, that was. That was infrequent and irregular as well, though.
True, but you know, I don't know. It felt like it always felt like you were, you were a deadpan fixture, and it feels that way again. And that's a good thing. I can't imagine a deadpan without Paul Mackey.
Oh well, thank you.
So let's. Like I said, I'm making sandwiches and looking for sandwich bags. So, that's kind of the metadata of what's going on around here.
Sure.
But now all of your little ones are in bed, right?
Yeah, everyone's in bed. I should actually consider making sandwiches myself at some point here. I'm going to be getting up early in the morning.
Are you really?
A little bit, yeah.
Oh, like in a few hours early?
Not a few hours, but more than a few.
Okay.
23.
Well, so I guess tell everyone what you've been up to for the past year or so. I know things have been nuts. I know that you've had a quite a rocky ride, but it looks like things are pretty cool now, and you've got some good stories, fun stuff you've done recently, and I guess tell everyone what's new in the world of Paul Mackey.
What's new? Well, I've just reached the first anniversary with the new job, so I guess it's not necessarily a new job any longer.
Wow. Yeah, I can't believe it's been a year already.
Yeah, it's been over a year since I lost the last one. Through no fault of my own, all malfeasance of the previous employers.
Yeah, there's a lot of that going around, a lot of employer malfeasance over the past couple of years.
Sure, so, but, yeah, lately I've been...
Sorry, it sounds like greasy spoons already. Go ahead.
Oh, it does. Lately I've had the... opportunity to do a little bit more writing again. Got some anniversary content up for your 200.
Yes, which was wonderful, and I can say thank you, sort of live, in live conversation now.
Although I think it confused some folks that they're like, I don't think I remember any of that.
Yeah, there were some familiar voices and characters, and some new stuff. I know that. I recognize that, as a creative and writerly type of person, you want to diversify your work and hit other stuff. But it was fun to see you hit to come back to the deadpan bar and to even to there was that mention of Ivo Furma in there, so that was fun.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, I think the deadpan bar and the really big things universe aren't too far away from each other, really. Well, obviously, I've blended them a couple of times in the deadpan bar. Universe, at least.
Right. And actually, I guess we should even explain that because, there might be some people who are relatively new and who don't know, who don't remember the Deadpan Bar days when you used to write a lot more short fiction at the Deadpan Bar.
Yeah, back when I was working video duplication, there was a lot more hurry up and wait time. And I would post on the message boards just a good three or four paragraphs a few times a night or a day. I don't even know what shift I was working at that point, but and it was the only thing that was a constant was the Deadpan Bar itself, which is a fictional bar in the in a box canyon up in the mountains somewhere in some undisclosed state.
Right.
We had the Jack Mangan of the Deadpan Bar is a single guy who never married, never had kids. It's still easier that way. And then there's this great big reset button that gets hit at the end of every single one.
Right, kind of like a sitcom.
Absolutely. So we can, you know, transport the entire bar back in time 20 years, and then the next week or the next time it's just the Deadpan Bar again.
I wonder how the Jack Mangan of the Deadpan Bar would do in a fight, or say a duel of the fates even, with the Jack Mangan of the Questers from FBM universe.
Oh, boy. I thought you were going to go head-to-head for real life. I was like, oh, Deadpan Bar Jack's seen it all.
Yeah, no, I think I'm envious of the Deadpan Bar Jack. Although, you know.
Oh, of course. I know what you mean.
No, but, you know, of course I have some things that he doesn't have, so. So take that, Deadpan Bar Jack.
Well, Deadpan Bar Jack is living a lonely life above a bar in a small town.
Right. Bar that he seems to own, though.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. The Deadpan Bar is also variably successful depending on what kind of mood I want to set. It can be a really hopping, popular place with lots of microbrews and really good food, or it can be a really quiet place where two people come in and sit at the end of the bar, depending on what I need.
Yeah, that's kind of how I think of it, actually. I think of it, that's something that I think you've done memorably, where there's kind of somebody sitting there nursing a beer and you know, with a story to tell. I think that's kind of... Although, you know, there are other times, and you know, especially in the Christmas episode, has you know, the Deadpan Bar rocking with, you know, lots of people. Although, actually, now that I think about it, that was actually not written by Paul Mackey. That was other people. That was fan fiction in your universe.
Was it? Well, the neat thing about the Deadpan Bar, one more thing, is just that it's kind of a combination of all the places that I'd like to hang out, which is, you know, I'd like to go to some place that's really successful and everybody loves it and, you know, there's good money being made. And I also have enjoyed in the past going to some place where there's really literally only two or three people there. And usually that only happens when it's off hours or if the place is in danger of closing. So,
yeah, I don't know. There are lots of dive bars in the world. And you know, from there are dive bars that I certainly have loved. You know, there are dive bars that have been home to me, not literally, you know, and of course that's way in the past, but you know, there have been dive bars that I've enjoyed.
Yeah, I can recall one Labor Day weekend, must have been, it was the end of the summer, Labor Day weekend, and I was at the, wasn't the Rockin' R, it was one of the bars on Main Street in Bozeman, Montana, and there was like, literally like, the crowd of people that were with me, like a good five or six people, and not very many other people in the bar. And I got quite memorably, I don't remember at all.
Quite memorably, you forgot about it. Yes. This isn't, there's no nudity in this story, right?
No, I'm about done, actually, but that's I only get naked in Canada.
Okay.
Or when showering.
So Canadians, you've been warned.
Canadians have already been scarred, I'm sure.
That's true. Canadians, you've been scarred. You've already had the Mackey effect.
What are you, younger, thinner Mackey, at least?
What? You're still, like, 17 and 85 pounds, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, I was 150 back then.
Yeah.
I was nowhere near 150 back then. I was 150 back in high school. And must have looked like a heroin addict.
Well, it's funny, you know... Yeah, being a teenager, you know, teenage you and the, you know, 30-something you, it's funny how time has its way. Suddenly there's a lot more of you when you're 30.
Oh, yes.
You know, that's no grand revelation. Anyway, this is all fascinating, but let me see, I'm not actually prepared with comments yet, so we should be spontaneous. Okay. We need to be spontaneously witty. I'm obviously a little, as witnessed by the fact that I'm making lunches as we talk, I'm obviously a little bit unprepared to be hilarious and witty. And we probably, you know, don't. There's nothing really all that hilarious or witty in the current events of the day.
Well, how's your lyrical memory?
My lyrical memory is for shit. But let's do it.
Okay.
I will. Be 0 for 3, I guarantee.
Sure. Well, we'll be revealing the answers during the episode here. Let's see. Would you like? Let's see. Let's start with either 2002, 1990, or 1988.
Let's go with 19. Definitely 19. I'm always going to go oldest. Yeah. Let's go. Let's go all the way back to 88.
88. Okay. I've got two from 88. Let's do the top one here. The paintbox tunes and wild balloons. Their watchful eyes. You start to swoon. O painted vial in lurid hue, the snarling horse that waits for you.
That is Who's Zoomin' Who by the Pointer Sisters.
Oh, that's close. That's close. They're very similar bands. That is Susie and the Banshees' Carousel.
Ah, okay.
Off the Peekaboo album.
Off the Peekaboo album. Yes, I remember. If you had done the song Peekaboo, I would have been all over that shit.
Jeepers creepers, man.
Yes. Where'd you get those peepers?
All right. Well, let's jump right into another one. I'll give you 1997, 2002, or 88 again.
All right, then I'm gonna go old again, because you know, well, we already covered the age thing. 88.
All right. Okay, 88.
When I was 14.
All right. Here goes. I sit at my table and wage war on myself. It seems like it's all for nothing. I know the barricades, and I know the mortar in the wall breaks. I recognize the weapons. I've used them well.
Well, crap. I know this, but I'm going to fail on this. You know, there was a time when I used to watch Rock Jeopardy and get every single one. I could have beaten Dave Mustaine. But now I'm going to have to guess that I don't know, and I'll just say Fugazi. Promises, even though I know that's not it.
You know that's not it. Yes. This is REM. World Leader Pretend.
Oh, see, you know what? I like REM and Familiar, but I honestly don't know that song. I don't think I've ever heard it.
That's off of Green.
Oh, see, if you'd done Orange Crush, then I would have been all over that shit.
Well, there you go.
So you're going for like the deep album cuts. Come on, man. Give me a break.
Hey, it's semi-random. All right. Well, I don't necessarily know if you'll know these, but we've got 2002, 1990, or 1997.
All right. I will go with 19. Well, you know, going old has not helped at all. So let's go with 1997.
Okay. And I'm guessing that like Just a Joe is probably going to get this one.
They might be Giants.
Nope. All right, here goes. Well, I laughed, but that didn't hurt, and it's only her love that keeps me wearing this smirk. Now I'm crying, but deep down inside, I did it to him, now it's my turn to die.
See, I thought you were going to go for wearing this skirt instead of wearing this hurt, or wearing this smirk. So it's probably a female singer, and it sounds almost Sheryl Crow-ish, but we'll guess Sheryl Crow is the artist, but also fail miserably, because I don't think you like Sheryl Crow at all.
It's Moxie Fruvis.
Oh.
It's from You Will Go to the Moon. It's called I've Got to Get a Message to You.
Okay. I have one of their discs, actually. It might even be that one. But I'm a big fail at lyrics.
Well, I'm sure that the listeners are having a good time.
Yes, I'm sure. I'm sure they've all smashed their iPods to pieces by now.
Well, okay, let's go for it. Do you want the easy one or the hard one for the next one?
You know what? Let's go for the hard one, because I'll be embarrassed when I miss on the easy one.
Okay. This is 2002. The first words that came could have been more inspired. You must be hungry or tired or frozen. So put up your feet, throw some coal on the fire, and weave us a tale of delight.
That is Drunken Wisdom by Overkill.
No. That is In Our Gun by Gomez off of the, that's actually the title track of the LP.
Okay. Yeah, that's one actually that would have stumped me on every occasion.
Ah, well, it's a good album. I recommend it.
All right. I've heard of Gomez, but I'm not, you know, a fan of Gomez Adams, but, you know, I don't know the band as well.
Well, there you go. Right. Okay, well, the last one I picked I picked the easy non-deep cut.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure you'll get it.
The first drink of the day?
No. 1990. My girl, she's one too. She'll go and get her a skirt, stick it under her shirt. She grabbed a razor for me.
That's the Dr. Pepper song from the commercial. No, wait. I do know this. My girl, she's one too. Yeah, I don't know. I give up.
That's Bin Cut Stealing.
Oh.
Jane's Addiction.
Yeah, I'm ashamed. I have no excuse. I can give excuse.
That one was one of the most overplayed songs of 1990, I think.
Yeah.
Or 91, or whenever they happened to pick it up, really.
No, I'd agree. It was so overplayed. I actually don't think I listened to it from 91 until like 2008, because I'd heard it too many goddamn times. However, you know, in my defense, if it had been a lyric from Stop or 3 Days, then I would have been all over that shit.
There you go.
So I am ashamed. I am O for everything.
Well, that is the broken lyrics that I have set aside for this evening.
Oh, well, you know, it was... I hope that someone out there was able to do better than I was, and that they you know, they laughed at my disgrace. That was awful.
It's all pretty much from what you would call the generic alternative genre, so I don't know. I still don't know if anybody would have gotten 5 for 5. I probably wouldn't have even gotten World Leader Pretend, coming at it from a blind direction.
Yeah, the only one the one that you said was easy. That's the one that I feel ashamed about. That's the only one that I really know that I should have had, was the Jane's Addiction. You know, it's been many years since I've worked at Sam Goody, and it's been many years since I've been able to hear myself think. So that's my excuse.
There you go. So the writing, like I said, I've gotten a little bit more time to at least do the One Draft Wonder stuff that I do for the Deadpan. But in terms of bigger projects, it's still all kind of hanging out there the same as it's been hanging out there, some of it for a long, long time. Long time. you know, I've got basically 4 different things that I think I could be doing if I really got my act together and started working on any of them.
And those, okay,
would be either doing a rewrite of Really Big Things, which would, basically flesh it out and make it into something that isn't a 5 minutes at a time experiment.
Okay. And aimed at what? Aimed at just doing it for the sake of doing it, or aimed at a patio book release, or aimed at trying to shop to a publisher?
I think I'd probably go in with the patio book release, probably. It's kind of, it is a middle story, of a larger arc, so I'm not exactly sure if it would have necessarily been the one that I would have chosen to do first if I was just, doing what I'm doing now, which is barely anything. Dreaming of what to do next.
Well, you know, life does that. Life comes in and, you know, you think you have time, and then suddenly it comes in and scobbles up that time. And what I always thought was interesting, I believe... I know that you had been writing all along, but I believe that you were kind of bitten by the new dad author bug.
Or I suppose.
You contracted it, because I know that that was when you got a lot of this done, when you were kind of a freshly new dad.
Freshly a new dad, but it was also the early days of the first wave of podcasting, too. So,
right.
So I think I was also bitten by the, hey, I can do things and experiment and have people hear it and possibly get feedback.
Yeah, you know, that was certainly an exciting time. When I had started out writing, and now actually, for me it was, you know, Spherical Tomy was the output of New Dad Syndrome, and you know, I've seen that happen a lot. Where you're kind of you're excited about the world, and it's not like you have time or sleep. You just, you know, you're excited about the world, and you get, you know, you're ambitious and you want to you know, you want to do this. You want to, you know, you dreamt about it for so long, and now you're just, you feel like you're capable of anything, I guess. And that's kind of what empowers a lot of us. Not to say that, you know, of course, the world is full of writers who can do that all on their own. But I'm saying that seems to be a common thing where, you know, it's at least amongst men, where the baby's born and you know, you feel like you can do anything. And you know, finally tackling that writing project is one of them.
So there's that rewrite. Then there would be the like I said, it is the middle, sort of a middle story of a broader arc. And there would be starting out from the beginning. In terms of the rewrite project, I've got about three chapters that have been fleshed out further. And then in terms of the beginning stories, I've got an outline of how everything really ought to roll, but I've only really got about a chapter or two real rough first draft on the beginning story. And then, of course, there's you know, the really big sequels, which are, you know, the one or two that will wrap up the whole broad arc, like I said.
Right.
And then alternatively, I'm also looking at possibly just backburnering and trying out another experiment.
Oh, see, there's another idea that's kind of bubbling and percolating.
Yeah, kind of. I don't know. I mean, it's kind of still in its rough stages, and anybody that's really paid attention to the Deadpan Bar stuff knows I like to sort of explore things that are really considered, you know, tropes of either science fiction or fantasy or something, and it's a little bit more of at least at the moment in my head, more of a crime trope.
Okay. Noir crime stuff, or are you talking like Miami Vice, or
It's actually probably closer to Miami Vice. I was thinking about it maybe being period, and it's about a young kid.
Period Miami Vice.
Well, you know, late 80s period.
Okay. I thought you meant like, okay.
Not actually specifically Miami Vice. Oh, you thought setting Miami Vice in a period?
No, I thought, you know, a lot of, I guess this is from, you know, my Renfair upbringing. When you said period, I was thinking Miami Vice in the, you know, huzzah in the Middle Ages.
Yes, no, but you got to realize that the late 80s is now retro and now a period of its own.
That's true. It is the Middle Ages. So go on.
This would be a young kid that's a courier for the family business, and the family business is, of course, no good. And then it was basically a road story. But I think that the twist would be that he's going to be transporting a daughter of a different family, trying to get her across the country. It's things that have been sort of looked at or visited in other places before in other forms.
Okay. Well, you know, one thing I always kind of dug about you, and I always recognize about you is that, you know, in the stuff that you've shared with us, you know, your, whether it be the music you like or even the books that you like. And of course, we saw this firsthand in your own output in Really Big Things in the Deadpan Bar. And I know you're a big Dr. Demento fan. I know that Paul Mackey has a taste for the bizarre. I know you like stuff that's a little bit out there and a little bit weird, which is, you know, and obviously, like I said, I don't mean that in any way as mockery. I think that's kind of it's accurate, even if I did mean it that way. I mean, you like stuff that's a little bit oddball, and you know that's kind of cool. You know, there's a lot of people out there who don't go much beyond American Idol and sitcoms, and
sure,
they couldn't fathom, you know, Dr. Demento, I guess, and you know, the Chicken Song.
There you go.
So I mean, that's, and it sounds like, you know, I'm just wondering, I'm assuming, even though you didn't say that, I mean, you kind of pitched it as a straightforward kind of story about a kid who, you know, works as a courier for the family, you know, the family business that's a little bit outside the law, but I'm assuming that it would have all the trademark Paul Mackey strangeness.
So far, not so much, but then again, Really Big Things started out as a story of a couple of guys that were going around photographing large roadside attractions.
Right. Well,
and just that.
Well, you know, I don't know. I guess we also need to remember that David Lynch did do the straight story, you know, somewhere before Mulholland Drive and after Twin Peaks. So, I mean, it's, you know, there's, you can enjoy the strange and go for the mainstream as well.
Hey, you know what? I'm going to plug someone else's podcast on your show. Is that okay?
Sure. Go right ahead. That saves me. There will be no promo this week. You're getting it right now.
The Twin Peaks podcast is an episode-by-episode recap of Twin Peaks, and it's being modeled after the potential cast model, which probably I'll have to explain that too. But basically, the idea is that there's a couple of people that haven't never watched Twin Peaks before, and a couple of people who are, you know, big old-time fans of it. And so the new viewers are being kept spoiler-free and watching it episode by episode, and then the recapping goes on with that.
Oh, neat. In fact, you know what? That's on Netflix right now, and I am actually in the crowd of people who I've seen lots of David Lynch, but I've never seen the show. So I'm actually a few episodes in. I will probably go all the way through to the end and then watch the movie. So I'm actually in that crowd, which I guess is why David Lynch came up, because it was on my mind.
There you go.
But I don't want to give any spoilers, but Laura Palmer is dead.
Okay. Yeah, that's I think that's fair. And also not giving any spoilers, but I think you've probably gotten, if you're a few episodes in, you've definitely been through the dream sequence.
I saw the first one where Kyle MacLachlan sees the crazy dancing midget guy.
And... Yep, that would be the famous dream sequence, yes.
Okay. Okay. You see, I don't even know that much metadata. I didn't know that was a famous dream sequence. And how do you interpret that sequence? What do you think? Or is it explained later on, or is it just always that crazy, trippy dream sequence?
It's explained later. Like bits and pieces of it come up as you're going along.
Okay. Then never mind.
Yeah, I think you'll be satisfied with a fair amount of it.
Yeah, and actually, I didn't want to have you on to talk about Twin Peaks, and especially since there's a podcast out there, you know, which is dedicated to Twin Peaks. But, you know, it's my one problem, or my initial reaction to the first three episodes is I'm wondering if he intentionally got the characters who start off, at least in the first three episodes, the hard ass kind of jocks and the mean guys, are also terrible actors. And I wonder if that was done intentionally, if David Lynch said, like, no, this, the, you know, Christian Slater, no, get this kid out of here, he can act, you know, like, we want that kid who can't act at all to play the football jock jerk guy that everyone's going to hate.
Yeah, well, and you really haven't seen hide nor hair of those people, those kids since.
Yeah.
I can't even, I'm trying to rack my brain a little bit because I know that I know some of the actors' names, but the Bobby Briggs, I don't think I believe I've seen him since.
Right. Well, that's true. You know, there are certainly a lot of people, you know, there's Joan Chen, Sherilyn Fenn, Lara Flynn Boyle, lots of people. There's, you know, that guy who you go like, hey, it's that guy. There's a bunch of them.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Where he walks on screen, you go, hey, it's that guy who's in every other show and movie.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I think, you know, I've got to admit, I'm not a huge David Lynch fan. I mean, I appreciate what he does, and I like some of his movies. When he gets really out there, I don't see the artistry in it. I just see someone who's been like a little bit, someone who's gotten a little bit off of his leash, I guess. And you know, and that's no offense. If you love him and you now hate me, then, you know, sorry. But I think, you know, he's certainly done some good work, and it's certainly a little bit dated. The acting is certainly a little bit tough to take at times, and it certainly feels like late 80s, early 90s network TV at times. But otherwise, you know, it's weird enough and Paul Mackey enough that, you know, I'm going to keep going.
Yeah, I still got to get my total tangent. I still got to get my buddy that I told the brief three sentences about Hard Candy to actually watch it.
Yeah, I think I've heard about that. I think I'm not going to watch that movie.
No, oh, you've never actually watched that movie.
No, I've heard the warnings. So
it's highly recommended as I believe both a Paul Mackey movie and a Charlie the Beer Guy movie. So
yeah, I know. Yep, I know that. I think that's where I heard of it, where I first heard of it.
Yeah, around the PowerPoint circles, that should be a double warning for most people.
Yeah, I know it'll be a strange one. The first Charlie the Beer Guy movie I ever watched was Ichi the Killer, which actually I really enjoyed, but it's wow. I don't know, have you seen?
I have not actually seen Ichi, so I've got it queued up somewhere.
It's absolutely, I mean, you know, it's definitely not one for the kids. It's really not even one for the grown-ups. It's really, you know, sometimes those movie imports are a little bit out there.
Well, this buddy of mine, Mr. Fabby, he was introduced to Paul movies. The one more mainstream one, Requiem for a Dream.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a really good one.
And then less mainstream, Man Bites Dog.
I believe that's the other one that that Charlie lent me that time, and I think I didn't watch that one. I think I ended up giving it back to him.
Well, it's, you know, it's Belgian and it's in French, so it's a subtitle reading all the way.
But well, definitely. Yeah, that doesn't frighten me.
Yeah, definitely recommend it though.
Yeah, I ain't afraid of no subtitles. I you know, that's usually actually even a good sign. And speaking of that, I'll give actually a Paul Mackey recommendation, and then maybe we'll move on to other things. But have you, my favorite movie that I like to recommend to people that will completely bug them out is the Korean movie Old Boy. Have you seen that one?
I have not seen Old Boy. I've also know it by reputation.
Oh yeah, it's a unforgettable movie, and actually it's in a trilogy, and I think Sympathy for Lady Vengeance is another one in the trilogy that's lesser known, but in my opinion, even better. And you know, I'm not like one of those guys with the Asian fetish, but the lead is just absolutely breathtaking. She's stunning. So that you know, that doesn't hurt. Also, while you're watching, Lady Vengeance is quite a knockout.
The one that I've been looking forward to getting to, but I haven't quite gotten to yet, is World's Greatest Dad with Robin Williams. From the box cover or the Netflix cover that you see on the streaming, you wouldn't think that it was going to be anything. You're like, okay, it's Robin Williams doing a lighthearted family comedy.
Right. I know it's actually kind of dark. I know.
Yeah. But, yeah. Basically, you know, starts with an autoerotic asphyxiation and goes from there. So.
Nice. Yeah. You know, Robin Williams is he's one of those people that everyone kind of rolls their eyes at. But you know, I think when we're going to look back on his career and his legacy and kind of cherish him. It's, you know, he's going to be like not quite to the degree of George Carlin, but I think, you know, we have to recognize what a fixture this guy was in our lives. Hell, he was Mork.
And it's also written by someone who's gone behind the scenes now, Bob Goldthwait.
He wrote the movie?
Yes, I wrote and directed.
So like it's like Shakes the Clown Part 2?
Not quite, but yeah, it's his work.
Well, I don't mean this is in any slight against you in any way, so please don't take this the wrong way. But
I haven't actually seen it yet, so I can't say okay. I'm recommending it.
Oh, well, I mean, I think that anyone who's still listening by now has fallen over and is drooling on themselves. I think I think we've geeked enough about obscure, weird movies. Now you actually, I know that you're. Well, no, I guess, let me think about that. You do have something. Actually, you were the first contributor for the Deadpan Children's episode that we have coming up soon.
Yes, I do have some content for that.
And what else? You don't actually owe anything else, do you?
No, I did not get in on the playoff brackets this year.
Right. Well, you know, the Wild were out.
They were out. Although I did see that at least by proxy with the chicken being selected as one of the anthems.
Yes, so you did influence. But unfortunately, you know, Buffalo went and they choked. Yes, there's a joke right there. I put the joke right out there for you. The song was choked. The song was chicken. Buffalo choked.
There you go. Well, you know, it really would be a Leafs song if it was going to be completely appropriate being a Toronto band and all.
That's true. That is true. And you know, that's Deadpan classic right there. You know, we'll have to, you know, if we ever make it to 300, maybe we'll have to invite that band around.
Sure, not that that's, absolutely.
You know, that's not in the plan. The plan is we're done at 288, which you're aware of that, right? I mean, I know that, you know, you've had bandwidth issues with life, you know, acting up and all, but yes, in case you're not aware that we've called 288 the end time, when deadpan will be too gross.
That's what I'm hearing, you know. So we can make all the absolutely the cockamamie plans for 300. You know, we'll get banned.
That's right. We'll have a concert.
We'll have a live concert stream.
That's right. Actually, I have the Big Four. I have, you know, the Big Four tour right now: Metallica, Slayer, Anthrax, and Megadeth. They're all going to be on Deadpan episode number 300.
Oh, that sounds great! I can't wait.
Pink Floyd is going to reunite, you know, Led Zeppelin's going to reform, and they're going to play Stairway to Heaven on episode number 300.
You know, I hear they're actually going to create a digital matrix that will synthesize the forms of the dead Beatles and get them back together too.
Yes, but they'll all be portrayed by.
Oh, get current! Come on, get current.
By Elrond, by Agent Smith, by. He has a V in his name.
That guy.
By Hugo Weaving.
Hugo Weaving. Yes.
What's the key to comedy? Timing. Good Lord. This is why we're going to stop at 288. I am a complete mess.
Oh, you could have pulled like a Robert Pattinson or someone like that, right? Someone younger. Younger, hipper, more current.
No. I don't think I could have pulled Robert Pattinson. Besides, no one wants sparkly Beatles.
Mm.
A sparkly Ringo is a thing to fear. Although it could be our band name, could be Sparkly Ringo.
The Ringo.
So, how would you like some comments?
I would love some comments. I am definitely not good at the Paul and Storm band name game. Basically, the way it works is you pick a random phrase that's fairly funny, and then you say. Actually, that random phrase is my blank cover band.
Gotcha.
It's a thing they do in their concerts, and then they've become so well known for that game that they have T-shirts now that they sell that have a big blank. It says, "Actually, blank is my blank cover band," and they come with a dry erase marker.
Very cool. Oh, that's a cool gimmick. I've never seen Paul and Storm live. I hate to admit it. Thanks to your tireless efforts, I have Paul and Storm deadpan bumper, but I've yet to get out to see Paul and Storm. I've seen Jonathan Colton live, but I've not seen Paul and Storm. Actually, you were there when I saw Jonathan Colton live.
Yes, I was.
I'm not saying I'm good at that either. It's just a comments page meme. All right, I'm going to fire off the first one to you through your Skype window.
Oh, you're all business tonight, sir. All right. Vanamon says, 3 a.m. and I should be in bed. Going to have to give up on Portal 2 for the night.
All right. See, that was perfectly executed. It was before I could even get the next one off to you.
Oh, that's all right. Okay. Lost Ralph says, Beer of the Night... North Coast's L'Amero. So far, the best American Saison I've found, Saison DuPont, would be the only one that beats it. Lots of pronunciation in that one. I only did some of it.
Yes, the next one you'll have Canadian pronunciation. But keep your clothes on.
It says, DJ Bunny says, the peasants are revolting. Maybe A should bathe more.
Yes, that was what a perfect typo for a Canadian. Maybe A should bathe more.
DJ Bunny says, I stand by my statement on how bad the Archers are.
Again, you're too fast.
Oh, I am too fast.
You know, there have been like five opportunities for That's What She Said in the past 3 minutes, but we've both been professional comedians and left them.
I'm sure the listeners are carrying on with that themselves. I'm sure that Lopan is carrying on with that himself.
What is he carrying on with himself? No, never mind.
Is that what they're calling it these days? Lopan says, in all seriousness, this could be the joke of the year in all-around cleverness, groanworthiness, and guffawness.
And thank you, Lopan. I think that was a joke about rabbits. I think that was the one that he was talking about. All right. Two more.
Oh, two more. All right. Retro says, really? I could have sworn there was a dark Sharpie in that image.
And
swore there was a...
Yes, could have swore. It's all right. And the first of the week.
The first of the week. Vanamon says, wahoo!
All right, excellently done. I'm sorry you didn't actually win the lightning round there, Paul Mackey, but if you'd like, you can take a look at our excellent parting gifts.
Oh.
You know what? It's frighteningly enough, that's a joke for our generation, the next generation. You know, for those of you out there listening to this podcast in the year of 3015, you're going, what the hell does that mean? Because that's actually a reference to game shows, which no longer exist for you, because your culture has become advanced and more enlightened.
You have no whammies. You have no sale of the century. You have no Scrabble.
Well, they might have the Scrabble board game.
Well, I'm sure they have the Scrabble iPhone app or iBrain app.
iStock. What they do still have, though, even though there are no more reality shows or game shows, they do still have Hollywood Squares.
And I think they may still have Chuck Woolery somehow.
Yes, and Shadow Stevens is still the center square. Yes, and Chuck Woolery. Yes, good Lord. I don't know. I don't think it is interesting to think about where podcasts are going to go. Cause when I think about my legacy, you know, I have some stuff in print, but you know, if the alien archaeologists who come, you know, after we wipe ourselves out, if they don't find my print books, you know, they will need to find an iPod somewhere with digital media, and I wonder if that's, you know, I wonder about that. That's where all of our photos are. That's where a lot of our memories are. You know, again, Charles Dickens, next generation, they were able to go back and find his old, you know, scrawled notes and manuscripts. Of course, you know, Charles Dickens was world famous and printed all over the world repeatedly. So that's not a great example, but, you know, the failed hacks of his generation, you know, the Jack Mangans who are contemporaries of Charles Dickens, you know, their families could at least go back and find their ancestors' crappy manuscripts up in the attic, you know, the dark and stormy night stuff. But I wonder how it's going to be with our podcast heritage. It's not like the stuff is going to be fossilized.
Well, you've still got plenty of time to set the world on fire, literally or figuratively, whichever you like.
I don't want to set the world on fire. Yes, that's a reference to old ballroom music now. See, this is hip shit right here on Deadpan.
There you go. Well, I mean, you know, it's interesting the podcast where podcasting is going. I mean, about 2 years ago, all the celebrities found it finally,
right?
And now a lot of the podcasts that I listen to are generated by people that make far more money than I could ever hope to.
Right. Well, I mean, there's an Oprah podcast, and that means that podcasting, I think, has come and gone. And
you know, Oprah's exactly who I was thinking of. That's the top of my celebrity podcast. No, actually, I didn't know she had one.
Oh, you mean you don't listen to Oprah right after your Dr. Demento podcast and your Twin Peaks podcast?
Wait, does Dr. Demento have a podcast? That would be cool.
I believe that is the only way to get Dr. Demento at this point. He's no longer on the airwaves.
Well, he only barely was syndicated for a while, so he had some sort of third-rate syndicated syndication company that was like, no, internet, no, definitely. Nothing on the internet. Make sure there's no internet.
Yeah, nothing like backwards thinking people in control of your content. Good for him now, even though it's a shame that he's not on the airwaves, but, you know, he's now all podcast all the time.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'll have to see if I can find him. I wonder if he's doing a pay podcast or a free podcast.
I believe it's free. I don't know. You know what? DrDemento.com. There you go. Now we've pimped two other podcasts. I so don't need to run a promo in this episode.
Well, okay.
Well, Paul, it has been a pleasure for me, and probably not at all for the listeners, but it has been a pleasure for me. And I honestly have enjoyed this conversation. I've had a good time talking to you, and and getting a little bit caught up. I mean, you and I kind of chat, so I kind of know how things are hanging with you. Not literally, I kind of know how things are going. But it's good to get you on. Is there anything else that you need to tell everyone out there? And this, I'm not setting you up to say Deadpan is the MF way. I'm just curious, honestly curious, if there's anything else in the Paul Mackey strange universe that we need to know about.
No, I don't think Paul Mackey has anything urgent to say. Although I do definitely want to say that I appreciate the Deadpan, and I appreciate that you yourself, sir, you've been a steadfast friend both in pod and off pod,
an on pod, an out pod, and
through pod.
Yes, and beyond pod. Well, I appreciate it, and I say the same for you, my man. I've referenced briefly how you and I were at the Jonathan Colton show. Paul Mackey and I were roommates at it was actually the Podcast New Media Expo. It was 1836, I think, was the year.
Yeah.
That we were. No, that was 2008, wasn't it, or 2007?
Yes. I believe eight.
Yes, 2008. It was in Las Vegas. So. And plus, yeah, I've known you since you were Paul from Elk River calling in to Dragon Page winging it. So, I mean, we go way back as far as 2005, really. So I would say, it's a cool thing to have. I will echo your sentiment. I appreciate all the people out there. I appreciate, including yourself. One other thing I have to say is that during the whole sandwich making fiasco and, moving from room to room, I'm sure that the microphone was making all kinds of extra fun, horrible noises. So if you've made it this far and you're not drooling on yourself, then I appreciate it.
Congratulations.
Yes.
You win a prize.
You also
win a prize. Have some cake. No, really. Have some cake.
And this cake is true.
That's true cake.
And you know what, this is the last thing I'm going to say before shutting down for the night. I am going to call this episode Return of the Mackey, which is a reference to a really obscure 80s or 90s, I think it was a Montel Jordan song. I think it was Montel Jordan. Do you have any recollection of the song at all?
I don't, actually. I was thinking of my dad's, my dishwasher singing.
Oh, there you go. There's the closing music. Forget about anything else.
No, actually, my dad always said his favorite song was Mack the Knife, because it does have the line in there that Mackie's back in town.
That's true. Mackie is back in town. Maybe that's what inspired Montel Jordan. Actually, you know what? Hell, I have the internet right here. Let me confirm, make sure that I'm not being a complete fool. The song was Return of the Mack.
Oh, yeah. I think that sounds familiar.
And is it Mark Morrison? Nope, that's it. Mark Morrison.
There you are.
All right. I am a fool, and I'm going to edit out some of this because I sound really dumb. But anyway, the 90s R&B classic Return of the Mack will inspire and inform the name of this episode, which is Return of the Mackey, because it is good to have Return of the Mackey.
Fun. dissonant thing. The dungeon. Jarring and a dissonant thing. The dungeon.
Paul, that was a train wreck of an ending. But
have we ended? Is it over?
I guess. I think it's finally over. It's all over with the shouting.